Deuteronomy chapter 8. And when you get to Deuteronomy chapter 8, we are going to look at verses 10 through 18, and I will read those and you can follow along. So Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10 says, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. He who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day." Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our Father, we come now, we just thank you for this opportunity that we can assemble together around your word and that we can preach and teach your word freely. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with me now as I seek to put your word forth and your word first. And I pray, Lord, you'll just bless this time. Pray in Christ's name. Amen. So I've entitled this message, "Forget Not the Lord Thy God." So this morning we are going to look at Moses. He's writing this letter to the children of Israel, and his urge to them is to forget not what the Lord has done for you. How often in our life are we on our knees and we're in prayer to the Lord for days, for weeks, for months on a certain issue, and we're concerned or burdened with an issue, and finally the Lord, over whatever period of time, he provides an answer or a blessing or wisdom to handle a situation. And we might spend 10 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour, a day, maybe even a week in thanks and praise to the Lord. But a week later, we forget everything the Lord just did for us. And we continue our life without giving praise and thanks to the Lord. How often do we find ourselves in that boat? Maybe more often than not. I can say for myself, there's been times where I'm in that exact situation, and a week after the Lord provides whatever I might have need, or the week after the Lord answers whatever prayer I've been praying for, well, you start to forget what the Lord did for you. And so that's Moses, his urge to the children of Israel here is, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God." And so he's urging them not to forget what the Lord has done for you and all the multiple different things that he's taken you through. So that's where we're going to be going this morning. So a little context to help really build this passage up so we can understand why Moses' message to forget not is extremely important. Okay? So the context of this chapter, Deuteronomy, Moses is the one who wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And he's writing it to the second generation of Jews, or the children of Israel, who are about to go into the land of Canaan, the promised land. Now you say promised land, I've heard that a lot. Okay, well in Genesis chapter 12, okay, God, he promised Abraham that he was going to give Abraham and his children a specific lot of land. It was a precious land. And that was the land that God promised Abraham. As well, God promised there in Genesis 12 that he was going to multiply Abraham's seed. And then later on, God added to that promise that out of Abraham's seed, well, that was where our Savior, Jesus Christ, was going to come from, was Abraham's seed. So that's why whenever you look at the Old Testament, okay, whatever book you're in, a good rule of thumb is, well, how does this book or this passage relate to the land promise, okay, the promised land of Canaan, and to the seed promise, okay? And you'll see the attack is constantly on the children of Israel in the Old Testament to get them out of the land that God wants them in and to get and to attack the seed, ultimately that Jesus Christ wouldn't be born, okay? And that's the great thing about the Old Testament is you see time and time again the Lord overcomes these obstacles to get His promised people out of the land. And we can see that in our lives as well, that the Lord has a will for us. That's to be in to be saved, and then to be in a church that teaches the Word of God. And we, those who are members here, can probably attest, like I can, that the Lord, Satan's going to do whatever he can to get us out of the will of God, to get us out of church, to get us out of our walk in Christ, either through discouragement. So these are a few lessons from the context that I'm trying to set forth. Okay? So, Moses, he's preparing these people with this letter. And we're gonna, I'm going to build this context up. But it started with that land promise in Genesis chapter 12. Okay? So, Abraham, he has a son named Isaac, who has a son named Jacob. And Jacob has 12 sons. And Pastor, he's taught through the book of Genesis, so some of us are very familiar with this. But Jacob has 12 sons, and one of his sons' name is Joseph. And Jacob's brothers, or Jacob's sons, Joseph's brothers, they sell Joseph into slavery, and Joseph ends up in Egypt. And ultimately, Joseph becomes the second in command of Egypt, and Joseph's brothers, the children of Jacob or Israel, they come and join Joseph in Egypt. Okay, and Exodus chapter 1 tells us that they settle there in Egypt because there is a famine in the land. So there we see that God's promised land, the children that were in the promised land, Joseph or Jacob and his sons, well, they're leaving the land because of famine and going to be with Joseph. Now Joseph and his sons die, and the Lord sends along Moses to ultimately take the children of Israel from Egypt back into the promised land. Is everybody following? All right. So there's a context here, but this is extremely important to understand the first five books of the Bible, and especially Deuteronomy. Okay. So Moses, that's where we find ourselves. We find Moses. He is the chosen one. And so Moses goes through a series of miraculous events with the children of Israel. Okay, first, he has to win over the Israelites' hearts to follow him. Okay, and so once they decide to follow him, Moses, he is leading them away from Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And we find in Exodus, Moses, he's leading this great multitude of people, and they come up to the Red Sea. And we've heard this story before. And so before them lies this impossible situation. Moses has to leave about 3 million people cross the Red Sea. And on top of it, well, he's got Pharaoh and his entire army on their tails. So how often do we find ourselves in that situation where, well, the problem in front of us is extremely impossible and difficult? And then to add insult, well, there's another problem barking on our heels that we have to face as well. And so that's where Moses found himself with the children of Israel. And the Lord, not only did he part the Red Sea, which was impossible and completely miraculous, and we probably hear this story so often that we might grow a little insensitive to it, but you really have to realize the Lord did this miraculous thing for the children of Israel. And so they walk through the Red Sea that the Lord parted, and as well, Pharaoh and his army are right on their tails, and he destroys their army. And so, there they are, Moses and the children of Israel. They're on the other side of the Red Sea. Pharaoh and his army have been destroyed, and God wants to be their king. Okay, so the Lord begins to prepare the children of Israel's hearts for this promised land that Moses is taking them to. All right. And so the Lord, he guides them by a pillar of fire during the day or at night and a cloud at day. So there at Mount Sinai on the other side, Moses is organizing the children of Israel in preparation for the promised land. Okay. Now, let's look at Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. So Numbers chapter 13, they are trying to, they're on the outskirts of the land, okay? And Moses sends in 12 spies, okay? And let's look at Numbers chapter 13 and verse 27. And it says, "And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong and dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, giants." Let's look at verse 30. And it says, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we will be able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We not be able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel." And so here we have, here's the children of Israel. They crossed the Red Sea. Pharaoh and his army were destroyed. The Lord's preparing them to go into the promised land. And the Lord sends in 12, or Moses sends in 12 spies, and two spies come back and give good report, and 10 come back to the children of Israel and say, they are stronger than we are. We can't take this on. And essentially what they're saying is, yes, the Lord, He crossed, He allowed us to cross the Red Sea. He destroyed the great army of Egypt, but we can't take on the sons of Anak because they have walled cities and they're the sons of giants. Okay, and so this evil report is spread to the children of Israel, and there becomes great murmuring. And if you look over in Numbers 14, the next chapter, 14, verse 10, it says, "But all the congregation bade stone them with stones." And so the children of Israel were so mad at Joshua and Caleb that they would suggest taking on the sons of Anak. And how dare you suppose that we go into this promised land? Yes, but the sons of Anak are there. And so they were so upset that they bade to stone them with stones. And so we see here, this is where the Lord, with this first generation of the children of Israel, His long-suffering was over with them. And this is where He tells them that they will not be able to enter into the promised land. And instead, you guys are murmuring and complaining. Well, you're going to have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, okay? And your children will be the ones who will be allowed to go into the promised land of Canaan. And so the Lord was done with their complaining and their murmuring and their lack of faith and disbelief. After all, the Lord took them through a Red Sea. The Lord destroyed the Egyptian army, and you don't believe that the Lord can conquer the walls of Jericho and take on the sons of Anak. And so the Lord was done with their disbelief and their lack of faith and their murmuring and complaining. And so this first generation of the children of Israel, the Lord was going to allow them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And their children, the second generation of the children of Israel, they will be the ones who can go into the promised land. So that is who Moses is writing this letter too, and in particular, this warning here in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And so as we come to our passage in Deuteronomy chapter 8, the first nine verses of Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses, he gives a reminder, and what Moses does, I might add, all throughout Deuteronomy, is he's constantly reminding them, remember what the Lord did. Remember what the Lord did. He's almost beating it into their heads, because how many times are you going to forget? How many times did your parents forget and see what happened to them? Okay, so you need to remember what the Lord did for you. And so if you read through Deuteronomy, you're going to see this over and over and over. Moses is constantly reminding, remember, don't forget, remember, don't forget. And so the message is very clear, okay, but it's a matter of letting it sink in and actually not forgetting. And so that's what he does in these first nine verses. We can look at verses 7 through 9. And it says, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring up of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass." So, other places in Exodus and Numbers, they refer to this promised land as the land of milk and honey. Okay, so they are coming from the wilderness, the barren wilderness desert, where they had to live off of manna, and the Lord provided water out of a rock. So they're coming from 40 years in a wilderness, and they're going to this promised land, and this is what is there. Okay, and they are prepared to take it. Moses will not be allowed to enter, and Joshua will have to lead them into this land. But Moses, their 40 years is coming to an end, and the second generation is about to go in, and he's reminding them. He's saying, this is the land that your parents could have had. It is a great land. It's going to have resources such as iron and brass that they can build a country out of. Okay, it's going to have more bread without scarceness. And it's going to have all these fruits of the vine and everything that they would possibly need. It's certainly a land of blessing. And so Moses, he's reminding them. But then he comes into verse 10, and this is where our passage begins. He says, "But when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee." Verse 11 says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day." All right. So we see as Moses, he prepares them and he says, when thou hast eaten. So he's telling them, you're going to go in, you're going to eat, and you're going to enjoy the blessing of the Lord that he has for you. Okay. But when you do that, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. And again, we see this this urge of Moses to the children of Israel. Do not forget what the Lord has done. So first, we see that the blessings that the Lord that he had for them, we see here that the blessings the Lord had for the children of Israel initially were far superior than what they ended up with. He's not only preparing the second generation, but he's reminding them. Listen, your parents, all of your parents, they messed up. They murmured and complained against the Lord, and what did it get them? 40 years in a wilderness till they died, and their bones would waste away in the wilderness. And so he's telling these this new generation, you need to remember, okay? Learn the lesson from your parents, all right? That when the Lord says he has blessings for you, the blessings of the Lord are certainly far superior than whatever you think in your head. Now remember, this first generation, they complained and they often said, well, we'd rather be back in Egypt in slavery where things were convenient. I was used to being a slave, but, you know, I got three meals a day. I didn't have to have faith for my meals every day, and I didn't have to follow a pillar of fire and a cloud. These were the complaints they were saying. They had rather that lifestyle. They were lacking faith. They were so forgetful for what the Lord had done. But first he's telling them, we see that he's reminding them that, well, when you obey and follow the Lord in faith, the blessings that he has is far superior than whatever route that we think is better. And so often, one lesson and application we can learn from this point is, how often do we think our path is better or far superior to what the Lord might have for us? Often the Lord's path, well, He's going to test you and try you, and you're going to have to live by faith for a little bit. But this is the route that he wants you to take. It's going to require faith. It's not going to be paved with gold all the way. And you're going to have to rely on the Lord to provide the manna and to provide water for you out of a rock, or the rock of flint, and the life of faith. So the life of faith isn't always the easiest, but it's certainly the life that leads to the greatest blessing in comparison to the path that we might think is best. So in verse 10, he tells them, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord." So he's telling them they need to bless the Lord, adore or praise him for what he has done. The Lord had a special land for his special people, and he reminds them to bless him for what he has given. And so this comes to the simple point that we can learn is, how do we praise the Lord for the good things that he's done in our lives? Do we spend time of praise and blessing to the Lord on a daily basis? And that's where it starts. We don't just praise the Lord for the huge miracles he does in our life. We need to praise and bless him each day for everything. Okay, everything from having food and raiment, and to the general provisions that he gives to us. Okay, so we'll touch more on that in a little bit. But Moses, he instructs them, you need to bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. And then we go into strong warning in verse 11. He says, beware, be attentive, that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments. So we forget the Lord when we do not obey his word. So we see a direct correlation here. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in or by not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. So he's instructing them, don't forget the Lord, but you're not going to forget the Lord if you're not forgetting to keep his commandments. So we see the correlation between obeying scripture, being in the Word, being obedient to the Word, and not forgetting the Lord. Or the inverse would be, as we are in the Word and obeying the Word, we're not going to forget the Lord because we're in His Word. And so Moses, he gives them this instruction. So he's saying, don't forget the Lord, but you're not going to forget the Lord if you're obeying the Word of God already. And so this is his strong warning to them. And as we've referred to already, they had a track record of forgetting the Lord. And very quickly, I might add, they had crossed the Red Sea and were at Mount Sinai for about a year and a half to 2 years. And during that period, it was a constant struggle with the children of Israel to, do you remember what the Lord did? Let's not murmur. We got a plan. We're going to the Promised Land. And so often it was very difficult for them to remember these things. Now let's go to verse 12 and 13. It says, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. So we see, again, he gives a strong warning, don't forget. And then he tells them, he's preparing them for the blessings that they should anticipate when they go into the land. So when you're in the land, you're going to eat and you're going to be full. We saw there in verse 8, where he's talking about the fig trees and pomegranates. They're going to be eating great fruits and food. They're going to eat and they're going to be full. And he says, and hath built goodly houses, or desirable houses. And while they've been wandering in the wilderness, they've been living in collapsible tents. You know, it's set your tent up, you're there for a while, then you're up and you're packing back up and you're on the road. Well, now in the land of Canaan, they might have more permanent housing. They're going to build goodly or desirable houses to dwell therein. They're going to be nice and comfortable. They don't have to move around anymore. Okay? And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. So these are the blessings that the children of Israel get to anticipate when they get into this land, that there's going to be a multiplication of the different things that they have because of the fruitfulness of the land. And so Moses, he's building up the blessings that they're going to have. But as well, he's saying, these are potential obstacles that are going to cause you to forget to keep the Word of God and ultimately forget the Lord. And so he's building this up. You're going to have a great multiplication of things. But we get into verse 14 through 17. He gets to what the root is. He says, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. And he lists the different things that the Lord's brought them through. He brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. And so we see here in verses 14 through 17 that as you forget what the Lord's done for you, well, that's where pride immediately steps in. And then you have a proud heart. And so Moses, he's getting to the key issue here, is pride. And he's warning the second generation. You're going anticipate these blessings, anticipate a full stomach, anticipate the comforts of your new goodly house, okay? But don't forget, he says, then when you have all those things, thine heart will be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. When our hearts are lifted up and pride comes in, that's when we forget the Lord who's done everything. And it's such a basic principle, but it's we're deceived by our hearts. Pride easily slips in. And now Pastor has dealt with, first, the Word of God teaches against pride constantly throughout. And certainly pride is what took down Lucifer. And that's what drives Lucifer. And pride is everybody's number one problem. It's said by many, pride is there waiting for us when we wake up in the morning. And that's certainly true. And so we are going to see here, he's warning them ultimately that they remember these things. Remember what the Lord did for you. And remember how hopeless and incapable of doing anything about your situation you were when you stood before the Red Sea and when Pharaoh and his army were behind you. Remember how incapable you were of fixing your problem at that point. Well, you need to remember that and remember what the Lord did for you. He's the one who did all that for you. All you had to do was walk across the Red Sea. That's all you had to do. And even then, he's the one who gave you the ability to walk across the Red Sea. And so this is the memory that he's urging them to have. And he reminds them, who led thee out of the land of Egypt, the house of slavery, bondage, who led them through the great and terrible wilderness. This wilderness they were in was awful. You picture a desert with, you know, tumbleweeds and it just completely barren. Had no food and no water whatsoever. And he calls it great and terrible, and where there's fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, and where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint. We see that in Exodus 17:6. That's initially when they had no water, and Moses was commanded to smite the rock, and it brought forth water. Now, flint, that's one of the hardest types of rock. So it wasn't just any rock. It was the hardest type of rock out there, the flint rock. And so the Lord, again, is another example of him doing the impossible for his children who were trying to do his will. And the Lord certainly still does that. Verse 16, it says, remember, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee. Now, with the manna, the Lord provided just what they needed on a daily basis, and they had to have faith for that provision. And as the Lord, He humbled them in that. And so often, the Lord is going to humble us where we have to live a life of faith. Sometimes it's like, Lord, why can't you just bless me and give me all the money so I don't have to worry? Well, no, He's going to keep things tight. He kept things tight for the children of Israel in the wilderness. Well, He humbled them so that they had to rely on Him day by day by day for every single meal and for the water that they drank. So for these basic provisions, and for 40 years, they had to live a life of faith after their great unbelief. Okay? Remember, you know, sometimes I think, well, you know, if I saw the Red Sea parted right in front of me, you know, I would have the strong faith. And to see the, you know, I would hope so. And that's Moses' perspective as well. The Lord did these great and mighty works right in front of you. You lived through it, and you still murmured and complained and had a complete lack of faith with the sons of Anak, who were nothing in comparison to the Egyptian army. And so he reminds them in these three verses of the different things the Lord's brought them through. And he tells them in verse 16 that He might humble thee and that He might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And finally, we come to verse 17. And it says, And thou say in thine heart, My power and my might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. And so again, this is a warning. He's saying, when you're in your new house, there in the promised land, enjoying these benefits and blessings, don't forget that the Lord took you through the Red Sea, the wilderness. He provided manna for you day by day. He provided water out of the hardest type of rock there is. Don't forget that. And if you forget that, that's when pride is going to slip in, and then you're going to find yourself saying, look at me in my beautiful house here in Canaan. My hand and my power is what got me all of this that I have. So the Lord, He wanted to bless them. He wanted to give them a nice house and a land of fruitfulness and all these blessings there in Canaan. But Moses is reminding them, the Lord's going to give you that. But when you have it and you partake, do not forget what the Lord did for you. So this is His warning. And ultimately, pride comes when there's forgetfulness. And this is His message. In verse 18, we'll finish here. It's His final encouragement. He says, But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. So ultimately, getting them into the promised land is the Lord fulfilling the covenant or the promise He made with Abraham in Genesis 12. And that's the Lord's ultimate purpose, to get His people into His land so ultimately the Savior Jesus Christ could be born where the Lord wanted Him to be born. Okay? But He's saying, Remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power. And this is, we'll make some applications in a few minutes. But the direct application is for the second generation of Israelites. Remember what the Lord has done for you as He takes you into this land of promise. Don't forget the hard lesson your parents had to learn. Okay, they learned the hard way, and they have to die in the wilderness, and they could not receive the blessing that the Lord has. But by His mercy, you guys get to. The second generation gets to enjoy it. Don't forget the hard lesson they learned. They murmured. They had a lack of faith. They just forgot everything the Lord did and just thought about the little problems that they had in their life at that moment. So He's saying, don't forget that. As well, He's saying, the other is, keep the commandments of the Lord. This is the other application directly for them, that they needed to keep the commandments of the Lord. And we see there in verse 11 that you forget the Lord when you stop keeping the Lord's commandments. And likewise, that we can use that. We need to be in the Word. And as we're in the Word and doing the Word, well, we're not going to forget the Lord and all that He's done for us. All right. Now, how can we apply this in our lives here at BBC? First, Are you a complainer? Now, this all started with complaining and murmuring. All of Israel's problems started with that. They're complaining and murmuring. And the Lord hates that, and that's a whole other message there in Numbers. But the Lord hated their complaining so much, and complaining is unthankfulness, which leads to forgetfulness, which leads to pride. And so the Lord hates that. We need to keep that in check and make sure we're not complaining and always have perspective of what the Lord is doing and has done for us. Now, maybe you're in a trial right now. And you're saying, Ryan, this doesn't apply. I'm not in a period of affluence and blessing right now. But as I said in the beginning, the Lord, He's going to bring us through trials to a place where we're going through our wilderness, per se, and the Lord brings us out, and He answers prayer and provides. Well, once He provides and He answers those prayers, don't forget about the weeks or months or years that you were in prayer for something, or where you're having to live by faith day by day for this or for that, for the Lord to provide for your bills. Once He gets you through that period of teaching, don't forget what the Lord's done for you. And that brings me to the next point. Now, as Moses is writing this, he's writing it to the children of Israel, but he's writing it to the next leader, who is Joshua. And Joshua, well, he took this commandment all throughout Deuteronomy of remember and don't forget. He took it to heart. And let's look at Joshua 5. So Moses dies, and Joshua takes the reins, and Joshua has faith and leads the children of Israel over the Jordan River and into Canaan. Okay, and what does he do after? Joshua chapter 4, sorry. Joshua chapter 4, and this is right after he leads them over the Jordan. And command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. And verse 5 says, and Joshua said unto them, pass over, or actually verse 6, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. So Joshua, he learned the lesson of setting up a memorial, remembering what the Lord did. So he set up stones. Once they crossed the Jordan River, the Lord cut the river off, and they crossed the Jordan and went into the Promised Land on dry ground. And the Lord, or Joshua, had them set up 12 stones so that they could remember forever, according to Scripture, what the Lord had done at this point. And this was the point of time where the children of Israel finally walked into the land of blessing, the Promised Land, and the Lord cut off miraculously the Jordan River, and that they were able to walk through. And so we see Joshua, the application he uses, he actually set up a memorial so that he could remember the great thing that the Lord had done, so that when men were walking with their children and the little boy said, Daddy, what's the stone doing here? He could tell him and pass on the what the Lord had done to his son. And certainly that's what Moses wanted the children of Israel to do. They wanted them to remember. The dangers of pride. We need to keep these things in mind, that forgetfulness leads to pride, and pride is the beginning of the end for every Christian. Pride is the beginning of the end for every church. Pride is something we have to be on guard, have our armor on daily, so we can fight that off. But especially it starts individually, and then as an assembly, that we need to fight pride off. And that starts with, and we see here, that pride started when they started forgetting what the Lord did. Okay? So how can we combat forgetting what the Lord did? Well, one, you can set up memorials in your own life. whatever that might be. Personally, you could set up a journal where you're writing the things the Lord's done for you and that you can reflect back on. That can be a way to set up. There's so many answers to prayer that the Lord's provided, and sometimes you forget about them, and maybe a few years go by, and you're like, oh yeah, I remember when the Lord did do that. However, let's keep those things in mind, and that we can praise the Lord often for that. And I'll finish on this. We need to get in the habit of praising and blessing the Lord on a continual basis for the things that He does in our lives. Psalm 100, 3 and 4, it tells us, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name." That's Psalm 103 and 4. And there the psalmist, he remembers who he is in comparison to God. He is God. I am just one of His creations. I am one of His sheep. He is my shepherd. I am nothing. He is everything. And we need to constantly be full of thanks and praise for the many different things, from the little things that we have to the great things that He does. And we need to have a heart of praise and blessing in our prayer on a daily basis. And that will help us combat forgetfulness, which ultimately can lead to pride in our lives. And we'll end with that in a word of prayer. Father, we come now. We just thank You for all that You do. We thank You for this lesson that we can learn from Your Word. And I pray that You'll just help each of us to remember the things that You do in our lives and help us not be forgetful, Lord, but to continually praise and bless You for all that You do for us. And Lord, we thank You. And I pray that You'll just bless the rest of the service. In Christ's name, amen.